I first became acquainted with Truman Capote when I was an adolescent in the 1970s, and he was a guest on the Dick Cavett Show. At this point, Truman was nearing the end of his career and his life, which was cut short at 60, and he was not in the best shape, but still, he was riveting. Growing up in a suburban tract house landscape, I felt like a freak, and was immediately drawn to Capote, his falsetto voice, his slicing barbs, his expressive hands, inching up behind his head and perching there like long-necked swans, yearning for flight. Soon, I was reading my way through In Cold Blood and then everything else he had written. Of his books, my favorite has always been his first novel, published when he was 24, entitled Other Voices, Other Rooms, a charming coming-of-age story full of the Deep South's swamp-laced mysteries, race relations, and basic human strangeness, shown to us through the lens of the effeminate boy protagonist and his tomboy female friend, who we later come to know as Harper Lee. Hollywood, with the release of Capote and now Infamous, has brought Truman back into vogue, or perhaps has saved him from the great void. I actually have met younger people who, before the movies, were not only unfamiliar with his work, but had never heard of him. Truman Capote has always been more to me than a great writer, gay icon, or even genius, the word that he used to describe himself. When I was a young writer, Capote was a bridge to other writers, most notably to the great American novelist Willa Cather. Born in 1873, Cather spent much of her young life in the prairie country of Nebraska, which she would immortalize in O Pioneers and My Antonia. Several other remarkable novels of Cather's include Death Comes to the Archbishop, a brilliant portrayal of the galvanizing forces of the Southwest, and Song of the Lark, a portrait of a gifted opera singer. Truman Capote first met Willa Cather in 1942 when he was 18, and for a period of time, she became his mentor. He chronicled this first meeting in his collection of essays, now entitled Truman Capote, Literary Conversations. He was leaving the New York Society Library on East 79th Street. Snow was falling heavily, and he saw a woman standing on the side of the street looking for a taxi. He described her as mesmerizing, her eyes especially blue, the pale, brilliant, cloudless blue of prairie skies. But even without this singular feature, her face was interesting, firm-jawed, handsome, a bit androgynous, pepper-salt hair parted in the middle, 65 thereabouts, a lesbian? Well, yes. In the snowstorm, there is no taxi to be found, and the woman suggested to him that the two of them go for a cup of hot chocolate. Not knowing who she was, Truman told Willa that he was a writer and had published several short stories and was working on a novel. When she asked who his favorite living American authors were, he replied that he really liked Willa Cather. Then he asked her if she had read My Mortal Enemy. Cather replied that she had written it, and a friendship commenced, with Truman spending many evenings in the Park Avenue apartment that Willa shared with her longtime partner, Edith Lewis. Known for her quote that, "The history of a country begins in the heart of a man or a woman," Cather is, in many ways, a writer's writer. Many people come to her work later in life. The reason for this is that she did not allow her work to be published in textbook editions, since she did not want young people to be forced to read her books. She wanted them to find the books on their own and to enjoy them. Had I met Willa Cather as Truman did on a snowy evening on East 79th Street, I would have been every bit the, quote, schoolboy, as Truman described himself when he was babbling about her books. Truman Capote has long been described as having gay pride before the phrase existed, and as a writer, his wide array of characters never excluded lesbians. There was the tomboy-girl characters, Idabel Tompkins, in Other Voices, Other Rooms, who he likens to another tomboy that his narrator had known. A beefy little roughneck who had lived on the same block in New Orleans, who had a habit of waylaying him, stripping him of his pants, and tossing them high into a tree. In Breakfast at Tiffany's, Holly Golightly makes numerous references to lesbians, all of which were removed from the movie version, which starred Audrey Hepburn as Holly. In the book, Capote cites Holly Golightly's preference for lesbian roommates as she says, "Of course, people couldn't help think I must be a bit of a lesbian myself, and I am. Everyone is a bit." Writers tend to write about themselves, even when they are writing about someone else. So I would say that this statement stands true for Truman as well as for Holly. His controversial last book, Answered Prayers, the unfinished novel, ends with his society matron character in La Côte Basque, the chapter named for the posh New York restaurant, envying the lesbian life of a friend of hers. In the end, Truman returned to thinking and writing about his old mentor. The last thing he wrote before his untimely death, caused by his addiction to drugs and alcohol, was 14 pages of a rough draft of an essay on Willa Cather. With commentary on queer literature and life, this is Janet Mason for This Way Out.